So today's going to be a little different. Like I said, I'm going to talk to you about mine and Pammy and Lauren and Ashley and the kids' trip to DC because I think it's worth it. When I first heard President Trump invite pastors, patriots, citizens, and Christians to DC to rededicate America back to God on May 17th, something inside me said, "Go, as Holy Spirit." I knew it. Because I'm someone that's just more than happy to stay at home and not, you know, I was done with vacations, but I knew this was different. But I want you to know, as I'm talking, I want you to really, really know this without a doubt. I mainly went on behalf of Faith Chapel. It's kind of hard to little church like this to jump in and be a part of something really big. But man, I just felt it. I just knew that that's what I was supposed to do. There's never been a president before President Trump to do something like this, to call Americans to unite and to rededicate the country back to God. So I was just eager. Like I said, I'm quite I am, if I never went another place in my life except, I'm okay with that. But, I talked to Lauren about it and she said, "Mom, let's do it." And we kept hinting at Tammy. Next thing I know, she's going. And then Ashley went, thank God. you know, once she showed us how to do it, we could do it. 'Cause we did it without her, but boy, did she show us. Immediately we were shown favor from the very beginning. I could just sit here and tell you favor after favor after favor after favor, because we asked for it. You gotta ask and you gotta expect it. And it was everywhere we went. And at the end, I'm gonna tell you one favor that was just. So for 26 years, there's been a special group of men and women who have interceded for America. They made trips to DC at their own cost, prayed at the White House steps, sometimes in the White House with the president, with Congress, with the Supreme Court, on the streets of DC, at the Washington Monument. They would do that. They fasted and they prayed and it cost them. It cost them. Some things I wanted to just, as I was writing this down, I just kind of wanted to share with you what was born out of these prayer warriors. And let me tell you, we're part of that too, but I'm just saying some went there, went into battle. One of the things that come out, just a few, I'm not hitting them all, is the Appeal to Heaven flag. That flag was commissioned by George Washington on 1775. It symbolizes a last resort appeal to God against tyranny. Gavin and Joy and others got behind that, and we display it here. And we have for years now. The Appeal to Heaven. The next thing, another thing to come out of that was Giving 15, a daily 15-minute podcast that God directed Dutch Sheets to post. It's one of the most encouraging and informative things that you will experience day to day, today, today, Monday through Friday. He's also, along with his brother Tim, part of that 26 years plus intercession group. They've taken groups to intercede for our country. Another thing that's come out of that is Wall Builders. It's Tim and Dave Barton, and they've got some of the most historical facts, but they've really come to the forefront. Another thing, Patriot Academy. Rick Green was a constitutional education and biblical citizenship and American history. You can go there for a few days, you can go there for a week, or you can send your graduate there and send them after college, and they'll be there for a year. There's scholarships to that. People support kids to go through that. They come out of that knowing American history and their constitutional rights, and then they go out and use that in whatever field they go into. Another one, Convention of States with Mark Meckler. I think he's got 28 states. They just need a few more. Another one, Flashpoint Army. Flashpoint. It originated from KCM when Kenneth Copeland said, "Gene, we got to do something." And they have since expanded so big they've gone out on their own. They have what they call the Flashpoint Army, which some of us in here are proudly part of that. They literally, through calling the Capitol building or our senators or even not our senators and other ones, have changed the course of legislation. We have. We've done that. Because of their involvement. Some of us have been to two of their, in fact, some of us have been to the original Tulsa Flashpoint rally and then have gone back. It's phenomenal. You see people like you everywhere who love God and who love America. There's many more. I'm leaving some out, okay? I'm leaving some groups out, but there's so many more men and women who have risen up. TPUSA. Athletes. Athletes. I think of Riley Gaines, what she's done. TV stars. It goes on and on. But most importantly, intercessors. And I can tell you without a doubt, there is a shift. And we felt it, didn't we, girls? We felt it. It was and was a part of it. We drove hard Friday and arrived Saturday, met up with Ashley, and literally hit the ground running. Literally hit the ground running. Hadn't even gone to the house yet. We found ourselves at a Smithsonian. This is on Saturday, the day before. And let the kids go through that, which was awesome. They're all kind of running together now. But that was the Space and Aero Museum. Which, when you go through those and you realize what we've accomplished as Americans, anyway, we knew that Sean Foyt was having a pre-worship service at the Washington Monument, which, you know, the Smithsonian's here. Walk. Walk. And then there is the Washington Monument. And, so all eight of us, we go to the Washington Monument and got there. And it was awesome. The worship was awesome. Greg Locke was there and spoke the day after he buried his son. And the coolest thing ever, it was Tammy and I and Quinn, and then Ashley and Lauren had the stroller. They were behind us. We took communion sitting on the Washington Monument grounds, kneeling on the grass, and Tammy and Quinn and me, I couldn't see them. Mm-hmm. It was the start of something miraculous. That's all I could say. Now I have to ask Tammy this. Was that Eric Metaxas that led us in the communion, or? I think I had my eyes closed, so I'm not really sure. Sean Foyt's one of those. He's done Let Us Worship for 7 years in D.C. He left his worship group, and I'm sad to say many worship leaders have left him. They don't want to get involved in politics. That's a problem. But someone led us in communion. We had those little things, and I'm so proud of Quinny. I didn't know that. I didn't send that one. I guess sister was there. She's a little relaxed. And anyway, now I just want to say, for those pictures are spread out. I'm not that big. But yeah, they were going around, and Quinn was right there on his knees taking communion with us, and he knew exactly what to do. He did it exactly at the right time. So we did that, and left there just ready. We got up early to make the journey to the event. I think it's that you could line up at 9 or something. It opened the gates at 9 and it started at 10. Which daily, let me just tell you, our daily consisted of We finally figured this out. The second day we figured this out. We, not me. driving to a parking garage, walking to the metro. You got to buy these metro tickets. Ride a metro or two or three or four sometimes to get to the destination, and then walk, walk, walk. Ari told Jake, what was it he told you? Said we walked a lot. We walk everywhere. And according to Tammy's phone, we didn't even put the last day in it, but we figured that we walked at least 30 miles, 4 to 5 miles a day with four kids and me. I told Megan that I had a goal, that I was going to pray on the grounds. I guess it's so emotional when you went and saw all that, that I was going to pray a post that she had sent one day. And it was just like, Terry, pray that. And I said, okay. And I meant to keep it. It was my purpose of the trip because it included all of us. To pray that prayer on behalf of Faith Chapel. And I was there to represent us. I hope you know that. And what God has already started to do. So when we got there, I can't even explain the number of people. We got there, and when we got off the metro, of course, there's people. And then we got what seemed to be kind of behind the stage because we could hear things, right? And then we walked a block. I mean, we're seeing people. People lined up, and then we turned and people, and then we turned and people. We could not find the end of the line. There was no end of the line. And it was like, oh my gosh. You have that picture of all those people, Lauren? Just to kind of give them an idea. Here we are, girls from Barrenstone County, navigating that. Yeah. I don't know if I'd have saw that if I'd have gone. I'm glad that was after. But we experienced that. They were saying 1,000+ people, 100,000+. It was a sea of people. We never really encountered any people attending who weren't nice and friendly. Am I right? They were just like us. The contrast was undeniable. While walking down all those blocks to find the end of the line, you just walk down a block, people. You turn, you'd walk down a block. I mean, you're just trying to make your way. It was just crazy. I mean, I'm not talking Silver Dollar City lines. I'm not talking Disney lines. I'm talking that. And there was this one protester. 100,000 people, one protest. Did she have a megaphone? So here are these lines of people, orderly, just waiting their turn. I didn't even see the lines move. Did you see them move? I didn't even see them move. And so this really block, and then over here on this side, of course, is all that you can't, don't go in here kind of thing. But there was this small trailer selling goods, like Lauren's shirt that she's got on. And we thought we better get them. We've got thinking, they're going to be sold out. And, but there was this woman out there kissing like you cannot. I mean, you wanted to put your, did she say the F-bomb? Yeah, she just out there. It's just these kind people that are minding their own business in line to go in, and she's out there effing it up. You just can't believe the things, the awful stuff she was saying. And you kind of went, did she just say that? And the police were right there, but they were letting her have her First Amendment right. As awful as it was, one woman. Then there was another woman. Was she just like over religious or something? Is that what you think? And it's just like, pipe down, honey. We're all here. We're all on the same thing, you know? And so, honestly, what did I do with my glasses? Okay. And so, anyway, if you want to see the difference in a radicalness and what we, it was just black and white. It was dark and light. It was just crazy. So, Tammy saw it, and I guess Lauren saw it. There were some people that went over and prayed for her, right? It didn't stop her. She went right back at it, but she did get prayed for. How close did they get to her? Do you know? I didn't see it. You to Jake? Megan to Jake? Oh, okay. They went over and prayed for her. And you could just see the demonic oppression. One person versus 100,000. She was just loud and noisy and going nowhere. So we made the decision to discover another Smithsonian instead of standing in the line. And I don't know if I've said this or not, but it was almost 100 degrees. I sweated so much. I sweated in places I didn't know I had. It was just, I mean, you're just wet from the heat. So when we got out there, so we went in and went into the American History Museum, and we took the kids in there. And that one, oh my gosh, was that our favorite? That was our favorite. I'm so glad I take people with me to remember things. But I did put stuff in my phone. And then we got out there, and Ashley and Tammy stayed there. Ashley was more on a timeline. She wanted to get as much in as she could. So Lauren and I went on to the concert. The rededication ceremony. Got right in. Nobody in front of us. Nobody behind us. Just got right in. And we pulled our stroller up there and sat in the grass. And I said, Lauren, let's pray. Because we didn't know, we didn't really know anything. So I pulled up a text from Megan that she posted from Give Him 15. And I think Lauren's got it. As overcomers, we decree. We obey Christ and command over America. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in this land. We declare that your authority is now being released over the government of America and that you are dismantling the arrogant systems and political forces that oppose you. All who have opposed you, along with the strongholds they have built, will be pulled down. Unrighteous laws they have written will be reversed in the coming season of revival and reformation. Their evil ways and activities will be exposed. Your angels are on the move now to expose and dismantle. We declare your words that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, and that your mercy endures forever and triumphs over judgment. Through Christ's cleansing blood, appropriated through our confession of sin, repentance, and faith, we declare that America shall be saved. And we declare that the ruler over and lover of the nations will have his great worldwide harvest. Man can't stop it, and demons can't stop it. It shall be in Jesus' name. America shall be saved and is being saved. That's what we spoke on our knees on behalf of Faith Chapel. That was my main goal. I had another one. I'll tell you about that one in a minute. I understand while we were doing that on the 17th last Sunday, you all were taking communion here. Now think about that. What a covenant this small body of believers last Sunday and us there representing us in D.C. I don't know if you can see in the spiritual realm or experience that any kind of thinking like that. Think how powerful. Think how powerful that was. We barely got done praying when a woman came up to us and asked if we'd like to come up front. And we looked at each other and thought, I think we do. So, hang on, I messed up here. And so anyway, Tammy and Ashley made their way over to us. Now remember, it's about 100 degrees. We didn't care. And you know what? The kids, their complaint level was so minimal, it was not even funny. Thank God. They could have made it miserable for us, and they did not. They did not. So here's who we actually saw and heard. The people we wanted to see. And Tammy kept saying, I can't believe we're seeing everybody we wanted to see. We saw everybody. So we were sitting up there, and Ashley went to look. So here, Lauren's here, and the kids are laying on the ground. We've kind of got them in the shade the best we could. 100 degrees, okay? And Tammy and I are sitting together. We saw Ben Carson, Lou Engle, Dutch Sheets, Mike Johnson, Blessing Offen, military chaplains in Jensen Franklin, Lorenzo Sal, he's my cousin, President Trump, do you guys know Lorenzo? Not my color. And Vice President Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Chris Tomlin. People couldn't take the heat all day, so they had to leave. And they may have left and come back. So we walked right in at the most anointed, the best, and perfect time. Isn't that right, Tammy? In my opinion, and Tammy's opinion, the pivotal moment in the whole rededication was Lou Engle and Dutch Sheets, again, in our opinion. So Lauren's going to play that. So the sound will be okay. It may freeze up because she's playing it. And Lou may freeze up, but this is one of those things when they were supposed to share, but I guess the Holy Spirit just come over Lou Engle. And Dutch Sheets says it's as it should have been. So go ahead, and this was where Tammy and I thought it shifted. Go ahead.
Lou Engle and Cassie Dutch. Let's just stand all over this place on the sides. Those who are watching on televisions and media, what we just heard is a clarion call from our president for a covenant renewal and outpouring. But if we don't humble ourselves and pray, he actually read the curses of this covenant. Brothers and sisters, this is a hinge of history moment. And what we do right here could shift America. 26 years of been holding solemn assemblies in stadiums and arenas and fields. But this solemn assembly is different from any other solemn assembly, for the President of the United States has called this day. Biblically speaking, it was when the kings of Israel called solemn assemblies and the people responded, God shifted the nation and poured out the Spirit. I believe we're in that moment right now, and what you do echoes in eternity. But that scripture is fearful. I believe when President Trump at the Museum of the Bible, he opened the door for the greatest awakening America's ever seen, that our president would say, here's my people who humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear the end. Brothers and sisters, it's not just a scripture. It's the exercise of pageantry that we're at today. We must, this moment, before God, who has set a court in heaven, verdict of mercy. And so let us do what the scriptures say. All across this nation, people watching, would you soil your nice dresses and say, God, we humble ourselves before
you. And we did.
Lift your voices and just say, Lord, I humble myself. Lift your voices all across. Lord, we humble ourselves. We need mercy. We need a verdict of mercy. Forgive us, Lord, for our trespasses. Right all across this place, before the ruler of nations, Jesus Christ. It says this in my people. We will seek my faith. Make a lifestyle change today. Determine, I am going to set my affection on loving God, not money, not power, But God, right now, say, oh, by the grace of God, release a fire across America that people would seek you and hunger for you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, sins, there are sins we've done today. In one decision, something can go. Lord, release repentance all across this nation. And now stop. For this, the Jubilee of America. Unless you're willing to do what the Jubilee was all about. For the Jubilee, say slaves. The church has had people in slavery. Forgiveness, unforgiveness. And the Jubilee, you release all your slaves. Lift your hands and I want you to say, God, I forgive you. I forgive you because God asks you, God, will you say the cross? Say you forgive him. That anointing, right now, release a wave of mercy, a wave of forgiveness. It's stronger than the accuser of the brother. We stand in covenant with the people of God, the chosen people of God, the Jewish peoples. We stand in covenant with you. Show us mercy. Lift your hands, and I want you to declare a dream that I had, that the president was elected. And on this mall, there was a great gathering as far as you could see. And the people began chanting, revival, revival. Would you begin to chant, revival, revival, God, revival, revival, revival.
Lord, we just conclude this session by saying, You are extending your hand of mercy to this nation. Millions of prayers have been prayed today and in the past 30, 40 years. You have accepted those prayers and we say today is breakthrough day. Today is reconnection day. Today is recovenant day. Today is the day that the outpouring of your spirit begins in our nation. We declare a new beginning for America in the mighty name of Jesus.
That was something. Oh shoot, it's just a terrible picture, but here we are. We're right there. You always look for Cammie's red thing, and I'm right beside her, and Lauren's over here someplace with a stroller. We were right there. They just about could spit on us. It was a shift in the atmosphere when that one was. They were all good. Now I'll get to another one. But I wanted to show that one so you know what we know now. You know what was spoke over America. It was a lot of that. Jensen Franklin talked about Elijah reseeding the clouds. That was one of my favorites too. Speaker Mike Johnson led a prayer of dedication to America, to the Lord. He talked to Patrick Henry, Abraham Lincoln, settlers in Jamestown. He ended his prayer with this request to God. This is not his whole prayer. This is a part of it. Above all, Lord, grant us the courage and your favor to preserve this republic and still within us the same dedication that compelled 56 men to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to this grand experiment and self-governance. The same devotion of patriots like a Patrick Henry, for whom liberty was worth any price. The same devotion of President Abraham Lincoln, who at Gettysburg charged his countrymen to rededicate themselves to the unfinished work of our fathers. This is still his prayer. Lord, today we pray that you grant us that same devotion to these United States. Give us courage. Lord, make us worthy of all those who devoted and sacrificed their lives so that a government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Almighty God, we ask that you hear these solemn petitions. Just as we are in the beginning dedicated, just as we in the beginning dedicated this land to your most holy name. Today, here, Lord, in this 250th year of American independence, we hereby rededicate the United States of America as one nation under God. Look upon us with favor upon your country as we celebrate this momentous anniversary, and let your Holy Spirit descend upon this land so that future generations will look back at this day in this present age and once again see your providence hand at work. I ask this today, Lord. I pray and believe it in your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. That's number 3 in the United States, the Speaker of the House. Let's think of all the leaders, the pastors, and more coming together to repent, pray, seek his face, humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways, and seek God. And God's part, what's he supposed to do? Heal our land. Forgive us of our sins. It was an atmospheric change. Tammy said it's the trip of a lifetime. Yes, it was hard on the flesh. It was between 95 and 100 degrees. But it was worth it. And I want to say this. This is a side note. And I'm not lying to you. We would have to look far and wide to have found 4 better kids to take for those than what we put them through. We drugged them. We made them go. We made them get up early, get on a metro, and get places before 10 o'clock to the Pentagon, to the Capitol building. And I think one day, Wednesday, our day off, we let them sleep in just a bit. Just a bit. 3, 4, 6, and 8. That was their ages. Now I'll close with this. Told you I wasn't going to keep you long. I told you God favored us at every turn. I mean, Tammy could have brought, I don't know how many people she could have brought home with her. I mean, people at the ticket counters, they just took care of us, didn't they? Didn't they, girls? He really showed out and he divinely protected us. I had someone pull out in front of me. Not pull out in front of me, but I'm going this way. He's here, and he goes like this. He crosses 2 or 3 lanes of traffic in front of me. But, you know, I just thank the angels that they weren't sleeping. The last goal of mine, I'd text her, and she hasn't come, but was to see the Vietnam Memorial. Now, this one's hard for me. Tammy couldn't do any better than I'm doing because she's a baller. And there's something about that memorial that's different. I saw my daddy's memorial, and it was precious. It really was precious. They were all precious. Lincoln, my goodness. But I'd been there 40-some years ago, and it was overwhelming. How many seen it? And we thought of Jake a lot because they were wheeling around the honor flight. We kept saying, Jake did that. Gavin did that. When I was there, I'm just telling my story. When I was there, it was overwhelming and I was frustrated because it was difficult to find a name because it starts like this and it grows. That's the West Wing and it comes to a point and then it comes back down and it does this and that's the East, what they call West and East. I was talking to Tammy and I said, if some tech kid came in here and they could put all of these names in, put in certain things and we could just go to this spot. And I was really kind of grumbling. It was hot. It was 100 degrees. But, this is the favor of God. Tammy and I just kind of come up on this thing and I said, wait a minute, Tammy. And there was some books laying just like this is under some protection somewhat. And you, alphabetically, you could look up a person. And then it give you wall, west, blah, 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 blah. And we went and looked and there was kids everywhere, literally climbing the wall, it was a school. They looked more like older teens, didn't they? and they were just trying to lurk and they were doing things. And it was like, because everywhere, I mean, you go in the Pentagon, you go into the Capitol building, please be quiet. Please show respect. Please do this. And anyway, I'll tell you this. So we decided, Lauren was waiting on us, so we decided to find us a park ranger because we had seen one. So we just went over there and we said, "Hi, could you tell us?" And they said, "Oh, let me introduce you to the curator." And I said, "Well, we're looking for this certain name." And he said, "Well, I can't help you with that, but see that lady right there? She can help you." And she said she knows everything about the Vietnam Memorial. She guarded that thing like a mother bear. Now, I mean to tell you, she's a little wiry thing with her little safari hat on. And I'm not kidding you. And she just was a treasure. And she took to Tammy and I because she knew it was serious. So I'm going to give you a little backstory. When I was a little girl growing up, I was really young in Revisville. And there was a young man from Revisville, our little spot in the road. He was drafted and he was killed in Vietnam. I was so young, but I remember the sadness when that went through the town. Of course, I mean, we had a grocery, little store where, you know, where the minds, the intelligent minds of Revisville met. And so it just was so sad. It was just so sad. So come to find out when Angel Brandstetter started coming to Faith Chapel, we got to visiting and she was telling me who she was. She knew who I was. She knew I was a Revis, but I didn't know who her mama was until we started putting it together. And it was her uncle that was killed. So I wanted to, so much to find her uncle for her. The young man from Revisville who would never have a family, who never got to come back home to his mom and to his family. So this little wiry woman, I'm not kidding you, she was literally almost just to the point of grabbing her and throwing him to the ground. These kids trying to get up there and see and all of this. And she helped us find Benjamin C. Woods. She fought off teenagers in 100 degree heat. She even had a special pencil. She said, "Let me do this for you." And she did his name. That's what you do, is you just pencil their name. And showed us how to look him up on their app. This is what she did for us. And Denise, I'm going to ask you to give that to Angel, since I texted her and said I had something for her. So I come home and framed it. Let's see if I can get through this part. Something about that monument, because they didn't get the welcome home like everybody else did. I don't know that my daddy got one either, but he got to come home. She kept saying, "Okay, here's how it works. If you've been there, maybe you learned it. I didn't know. But this wall of names, they will tell you." She can tell you. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell by just looking. It is in alphabetical order in a way that they understand. On that day that Benny died, it showed in alphabetical order all the men who died that day. And she said, "Can you do better?" She said, "More than likely, these are the guys that died with him." Said, "He's never alone." She kept patting that wall. I didn't want to do that to you. She kept patting that wall. And so it might have been this guy, but so many names. And she said, "They're never alone. They're never alone." She's done that for 16 years. She's watched over that wall. "Do you have the one where I she pointed out Benny's name? You did? Okay, I didn't know. Anyway, I am forever grateful for the men, the women, the nurses who served and lost their lives. Lord, help us never to forget. We were just going to run by. One of the things I'd never seen was the Arlington Cemetery. Oh my gosh. Just a word of caution. Don't walk it. You can't walk it. We saw JFK, where Audie Murphy. We saw. It's just amazing. Lee Marvin. I don't know if anybody remembers Lee Marvin, but it's massive. It's massive. It's another place that they tell you to be respectful. Those kids were respectful. No screaming, no crying, no acting ugly. It just took us. We thought would be about an hour. It was massive. It was just, we saw the changing of the guards. We went up on the steps and come to find out Lauren had to stay down there and she's right by him. So, it was just, you can tell it was quite the experience for Terry and Tammy and Lauren and Ashley and what we've done, what we've produced, what we've invented. And then the people who fought for it and died for it and came back home. It was just, and then have all those people come and rededicate, and our president and our vice president, and you know, you've got Pete Hegseth. Jesus was there. I don't care. Yeah, Jonathan Rumi was there. We missed him, but he's the TV Jesus. But anyway, without a doubt, in my heart, things are changing. Watch your gas prices go down. They'll go down. Watch your interest rates go down. They'll go down. Things are going to happen. Things are changing. You don't appeal to God. That many, you know, and even the ones that didn't go, that were still doing it. You don't appeal to a gracious and a loving Father and Him say, oh, well, not at all. I fully expect things to change. We have to be expectant. We can't just say, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. We've got to be going, and I know you people, we just continue to say, America's being saved. America's being saved. No matter what it looks like in Iraq, Iran, Russia, China, anything like that, America is being saved, and God will have His harvest. Okay? Lauren? So, anyway, I knew I'd cry.